Appreciate you being here once again tonight. Take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to the book of Psalm. We're going to be all over the book tonight, but I want to start in the book of Psalms, chapter 34. Thank you once again for being here tonight. I want you to see something tonight that if you don't need it tonight, I'm going to ask you to put it in your spiritual bank. Because the day will come when you'll need it. I promise you, the day will come when you'll need it. Amen. I'm going to leave you to rest tonight. But I want to begin reading in verse 14 of Psalm 34. The Bible said, "Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it." How many believes that's the way the child of God ought to live right there? Amen. Then the Bible said, "The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous." How many is glad he's looking? He's watching. He knows. "And his ears are open to their cry." One of the men, I'm not sure, it might have been you, Brother Jason, when you were preaching, you mentioned a bunch of different people praying. And somebody might say, "Well, how in the world did God get anything out of that?" Amen. I reminded when I heard that of a lady that said to the preacher at the back door on her way out, she said, "I didn't like that, all them people up there praying out loud." She said, "I couldn't understand the thing they was saying." Preacher looked at her and said, "Honey, they wasn't talking to you." I promise you, our Savior heard every word. And he heard the ones that couldn't get out a word. Sometimes we're so broken, we can't even get out a word. The Bible said, "The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all of their troubles." Now, God didn't say, "Well, we're going to have trouble." The Bible talked about in the book of Corinthians, I believe 2 Corinthians chapter 1, "Who hath delivered and doth deliver and will yet deliver us." Amen. And then the Bible said this in verse number 18, "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit." Look at verse 19. "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all." And then you have prophecy. "He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken." That's speaking of our Savior, the Lord Jesus. "Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate." This is just a springboard tonight for the text that I want to preach tonight, or the message that I want to preach, entitled "The Blessedness Behind Brokenness." Every one of us is just one phone call away, one doctor's visit away. You know, Brother Jason, this just come to my mind. You and I believe tonight that maybe James has got a bug. Somebody's young and tonight that age, brother. It's got something a lot worse than a bug. Some mom and some dad's heart is crushed tonight because of news they received about their child. Help me pray tonight, and I want to get into the message and try to get done here at a decent hour tonight. But I want to give you what God's put in my heart. Father, I want to thank you tonight for the blessed privilege, Lord, to read the Bible. The blessed privilege, our Father, to hear it. The blessed privilege to heed it. The blessed privilege to hide it, Lord, in our hearts. And God, tonight, this is a message that I really hope no one here needs. But I happen to know, Lord, there are some that even in this hour are broken in their spirit. Lord, there are some that before this week is over will be broken in their spirit. God, tonight, I pray that you would help us to hide this word, hide this message, Lord, this thought. Lord, if I could get from here to heaven without ever being broken again, it would be all right with me. God, that's not your plan. We know, our Father, that Job said, man that's born of a woman is a few days. And Lord, he said, full. That's a big word, Lord, full of trouble. Lord, I'm glad that we can be full of the blessed Holy Spirit, even, Lord, as we're full of trouble. Lord, that you can help us to see the blessedness behind our brokenness. God, will give you glory now if you'll just help us a little while. In Jesus' name, amen. The message tonight only has 2 points in it, but there's several of them, what you call sub-points. I want to look tonight about some types of brokenness, and then I want to look tonight at the truth concerning brokenness. That's what I want to look at in the message tonight. I think that you'll be able to relate to this. I know that some of our seniors especially will be able to relate to this. In the types of brokenness, the first thing that I want to talk about is being broken physically. How many knows these bodies break down? Amen. These bodies are not made to live forever. Amen. But aren't you glad we have a new one waiting on us? Amen. One likened to the Son of God. Listen, pay attention to the word broken in the message tonight. Listen to Job in Job chapter 7 and verse number 5. He said, my flesh is clothed with worms and clods of dust. My skin is broken and becometh loathsome. He said in Job chapter 16 and verse number 12, I was at ease, but he hath broken me asunder. He hath also taken me by the neck and shaken me to pieces and set me up for his mark. Think about that. The psalmist said in Psalm 31 and 12, I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I am like a broken vessel. And then in Psalm 38 and verse number 8, the psalmist said, I am feeble and sore broken. I have roared by reason of the disquietness of my heart. There have been several times in my life when, because of different things that went on, that I knew what it was to be broken physically, to want to do something and not be able to do it. But I'll tell you tonight, that's just one type of brokenness. I honestly believe in my heart that that brokenness is easier to deal with than the spiritual brokenness that I'm going to talk about tonight. That's a type, being broken physically. Sister Shelby's laying over there in the hospital right now, literally fighting for her life, getting to eat a little bit more now, and the feeding tube's out, and the tube's out of her side. But I'm telling you, she's in a battle, amen, physically. Brother Ralph is right there by her side in a battle, amen, and broken because of those things that are happening physically. Then broken spiritually. Give you a couple things here tonight. Sinners are broken spiritually. I'm going to tell you, I remember the night God broke my heart. I remember the night that God showed me what I was and showed me who he is and let me know that even though I was who I was, that he loved me and that he gave himself for me. The Bible said, whosoever shall fall upon that stone shall be broken. I'm glad, listen. Listen to me. This is what the Bible's teaching. Jesus is that stone. You fall on him and you'll be broken. But I tell you what, if he falls on you, this is what the Bible said, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. Beloved, we need that brokenness. Now listen, I'm not trying to be smart tonight. But I'm going to tell you something. The Bible does not say that you have to weep to get saved. The Bible does not say that. But I tell you, I do believe, beloved, our will has to be broken. And we have to come to a place in our life, amen, where God's right and we're wrong. And where we need Him like we've never needed anything before in our life. The Bible said, I read in the text a while ago, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. I believe tonight that sinners ought to be broken and will be broken when they understand the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that He took our place on Calvary, that it shouldn't have been Him hanging there, it should have been us. And yet He loved us enough to take our place. And then the saints are broken spiritually. I remember these words. They were a favorite words of a dear friend of mine. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of heart the spirit is broken. You say, Pastor, I don't know what that's got to do with the saints of God. Turn to Psalm 51 with me tonight. Here is a man in Psalm 51 that not only would you call him a saint, but God said he was a man after God's own heart. And it's in this text tonight, I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but it starts with, in verse number 1, with the words, have mercy upon me, O God. Let me say this to you tonight. Sinners are not the only people in the world that need mercy. Amen. When you and I get sideways with God, amen, our only hope in getting right with God is that God would have mercy and that He would shed His loving kindness on us and that He would forgive us, amen. The Bible said here, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Drop down to verse number 8 and I'll show you what I mean. David said here, make me to hear joy and gladness. The ones that I've studied after, they believe that it's approximately 13 months between the time that David had that pleasure for a season with Bathsheba and this time of repentance in his life. You say, Pastor, why would you mention that? Because it had been over a year since he had heard joy and gladness. He's here, he says, make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken. How many is glad, thank God, the Christian can't get by in sin, amen? But God will come along, amen, and break that man spiritually in his life. The Bible said here, make me to hear. He was broken over his sin. And then in verse number 17, he said, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. Oh God, thou wilt not despise. I wonder sometimes if some people in their highfalutin self and pride don't sit there and wonder, well, why is he up there in the altar? Why is that snot and them tears going everywhere? I'm going to tell you something right now, beloved. Listen, when God breaks a man's heart, we ought to rejoice in that. And if he ain't never broke your heart, then you need to know tonight that he wants to. Amen. David here, he say, Pastor, what's God teaching us in this? I said, the sinners are broken spiritually. And then saints are broken spiritually. Let me just say this. Let me show you what happens. This is just getting ahead of myself a little bit, but I'm just going to show you a little bit of blessedness right here before we go on in the first part of the message. What happened here when David was broken? And let me say this. You haven't lived as a Christian until God has broken your heart over something you've said, something you've done. How about this? Here's what we really need, that we're failing to do. Did y'all hear? The Bible said to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not to him, it's S-I-N, sin. I'll tell you where most Baptists are. Oh, I'm not a drunkard, amen, and I'm not a prostitute, and I'm not a gambler, and I'm not, my friend, one that goes out here and steals. But let me ask you something. What are you? God wants us to be a child of God. to stand up and be counted in this sin-benighted world. Amen. Have some boldness about us. I didn't say arrogance. Some boldness about us. Paul had boldness about him. Silas had boldness about him. John and Peter had boldness about them in the book of Acts. Amen. God wants us to boldly proclaim the truth. What happens here when a man after God's own heart is broken? Let me give you three things real quickly. Number one, joy is restored. I like Brother Chris, I think it was you who talked about the preacher said, you see, I listen. Y'all better be careful what you say. Amen. Brother Jason said some nice things about me. Do I still have to give you that $20 for saying them things? Amen. Mikey's about to die back there, brother. Old turtle, amen. Let me say this to you tonight. You said something about the preacher said, I don't know so much when I'm filled as I do when I'm not. Well, let me tell you this tonight. I may not know so much when I'm full of joy, but I know when I'm not. How many knows when the joy goes out the window? Say amen. And when you don't have that joy, David said, make me to hear joy and gladness. Where'd it go? Amen. I tell you where it went. It went out the window with his sin. And he wasn't going to get it back, amen, until God broke him and he came in repentance, amen. Watch this now. Number one, the joy is restored. Number two, let me show you what it says here. He said, restore to me the joy of thy salvation. Uphold me with thy free spirit. I don't believe a man that gets caught up that's genuinely been born again and gets caught up in sin, I don't believe that man will ever be saved again. He's as saved as he ever will be, but I believe he loses not his salvation, but the joy of his salvation. And while he's lost the joy of his salvation, others are going to hell around him. That's what David's teaching us right here. Watch this. Not only is the joy restored, he said then. I want to say this, only then. You can't do the work of God without joy. It'll tell on you. Say amen. If you're doing everything you do, amen, just out of obligation, God help you. Amen. If you don't look forward to doing something for the Lord, amen, the Lord help us. Amen. David said, then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. I wrote down three things. Joy is restored. Jesus is exalted, and justification follows. You say, what do you mean justification? That's somebody else's. Amen. When you have the joy of the Lord on you, somebody else is going to know it. Amen. And you're going to have an influence in their life. So in the types of brokenness, we've talked about being broken physically. How many knows what that is? Being broken spiritually. But then I want to say this. Thirdly, the saints are broken, I use this word for the sake of alliteration, situationally. There are situations that break our heart. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands tonight, but I promise you, there are situations, sometimes with our children, that absolutely break our hearts. I wrote down a few things tonight. There's death that breaks our heart. There's disease that breaks our heart. There's divorce that breaks our heart. I was sitting at the dinner table today with a couple of families, and I said this, you know, they were talking about a man that he was going through it now with his boy, and I know another man that's going through it. Amen. Listen to me. When you love deeply, you hurt deeply. When you see your youngins hurting, are you listening to me? But I said something we need to remember, youngins. It's the grace of God. It ain't us. I don't care if you've been married 50 years. It's the grace of God. Amen. It ain't you. We're not sitting in judgment on them. Amen. But we're understanding that situation at times. I say this tonight. When the youngins are little, they're stepping on your toes. But when they grow up, sometimes they're stepping all over your heart. Are you listening to me tonight? There's situations in our family. Sometimes there's situations in our finances. Sometimes there's situations in our faith. Anybody ever been there? I love that where that, I think it was the centurion that said to Jesus, Lord, I believe. But that ain't where he stopped. He said, help thou mine unbelief. Ain't it good when you realize you can't hide nothing from Jesus? Amen. You might as well go ahead and spit it out because he knows what's going on down in the heart anyway. Amen. Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Can anybody relate to that man? So there's situations. There was a situation in Jeremiah's day. There was a spiritual destitution in the nation. This is what Jeremiah said. He said, my heart within me is broken. Did you know Jeremiah is the weeping prophet? And he said, my heart within me is broken. Watch this. He said, because of the prophets. Are you listening to me? Amen. They had quit thundering the truth. He said, all my bones shake. He said, I'm like a drunken man. I'm like a man whom wine hath overcome because of the Lord and because of the words of his holiness. There's a lot of people would never understand why, beloved, that a preacher would mount the pulpit and be concerned about his country and be concerned about the direction that it's going in. But I'm telling you, Jeremiah understood, amen. He saw Israel not going toward God, but going away from God. And it broke his heart. The situation broke his heart. Isaiah's situation, God said, Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up in the year that King Uzziah died. In verse number 8, he said, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Isaiah said, here am I. Send me. Now that ain't the end of it. That'd be wonderful. But God said, I'm going to send you to people that ain't going to listen. I'm going to send you to people that's not going to hearken. Amen. I tell you what, we're not setting the woods on fire, but I thank God every once in a while the Lord lets us see one get in. Amen? This is a spiritual destitution in the nation. Brokenness by the situation. Jesus was weeping at the death of Lazarus. You remember that? The shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Well, in Psalm 147 in verse number 3, the Bible said, he healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. The word wounds in the Hebrew language means griefs. And I'm going to tell you something right now. When our loved ones leave us, we grieve. Say amen. We grieve. I sat with a young lady the other night on the couch that wept uncontrollably. Her heart is absolutely broken. Amen. And then you have Jesus weeping over Jerusalem. Not only is there death and disease and divorce, but there's destruction. Jesus, in Luke chapter 19 and verse number 41, he said, and when he was come near, he beheld the city and he wept over it. You can say whatever you want to, but if Jesus was to go up there, I can't remember the name of the road, up above Warbank, up in there. If he'd go up there, what's it called, Brother Vince?
Skyland, I believe.
Skyland. If he'd go up there and he'd look over Bloomingdale, he'd weep over Bloomingdale. He'd weep over Kingsport. Amen. If he'd go up on Bays Mountain, he'd look every direction. He would weep. There would be a brokenness, amen. Because listen what he said about Jerusalem. He said, he come near, he beheld the city, wept over it, saying, if thou hast known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thy eyes. I like what Brother Jason said about Israel. Now's different than what it's going to be. Say amen. It might be hid from their eyes now, but this book says, and so all Israel shall be saved. There's coming a day when God is, so blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. God's going to pull the blinders off and let them see the Savior. But here, Jesus is walking among them and he's broken. Because they didn't recognize. He said he came unto his own. His own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them, I'm glad I'm one of the many. Amen. To them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. He said, the day shall come upon thee. This happened about 70 AD, that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee round, keep thee in on every side. Watch this. It broke Jesus' heart. And shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee. I'm going to tell you something right now. Anybody that don't care about these youngins, I don't know about them. Say amen. I'll tell you, Jesus cared about them. Say amen. He wasn't just concerned about that bunch of ignorant people that was blind. He saw the youngins coming from behind them. Amen. And he said, listen, this place is going to be laid even with the ground. Thy children within thee, thou shalt not leave. They shall not leave one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the day of thy visitation. I'll tell you tonight, there's some types of brokenness that's portrayed in the Word of God. And I may not have mentioned what it is that's got your heart broken tonight. But what really encourages me is if I missed it, God didn't. He never does. He knows exactly where to put his finger. He knows exactly how to help. Now, we've looked at some types of brokenness. Let's look for a few minutes tonight at the truth concerning brokenness. Now, I want you to pay attention tonight. Don't miss this, okay? The Word of God said in Psalm 119 and 71, let me ask a question first. How many's ever heard this said? God is good all the time. How many's ever heard that said? Amen. Is it the truth or is it just something we say? I said, is it the truth or is it just something we say? God can't change, can he? I am the Lord, I change not. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. If he's ever been good, he's still good. If he's good on the mountain, he's good in the valley. If he's God on the mountain, he's still God in the valley. Listen. The Bible said in Psalm 119 and verse 71, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. There have been times in my life, I don't want a pity party, but there have been times that I've hurt so bad. I'm talking about pain. And none of that would compare to the spiritual pain at times and being crushed and broken by other things that go on, many times out of your control. But I don't know that I've ever come to the place where the enemy's been able to wiggle in enough to convince me that God wasn't good and that God wasn't still on the throne and that God didn't have a purpose in those things that were coming into my life. Job, you remember I read a while ago about his affliction. But remember this, Brother Jack, this goes with the Sunday school lesson. God bless the latter end of Job more than the beginning. And honey, I'm going to tell you something right now. If your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life and your soul is under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, I can promise you this. As good as it was in the beginning when you got saved, honey, he's going to bless the latter end even more than the beginning. So the truth is, it's good. Why is it good? Let me read something to you. It's an illustration that I ran across that I think will help paint this picture. Grace is God drawing sinners as well as saints closer and closer to him. How does God in his grace prosecute this purpose? Not by shielding us from assault by the work, the flesh, and the devil, nor by protecting us from burdensome and frustrating circumstances. Not yet, nor yet by shielding us from troubles created by our own temperament and psychology, but rather by exposing us to all these things, listen, so as to overwhelm us with a sense of our own inadequacy and to drive us to cling to Him more closely. This is the ultimate reason from our standpoint why God fills our lives with troubles and perplexities of one sort and another. You understand, if I was a TV preacher, I couldn't read this. If I was a TV preacher, I couldn't preach this. If I was a health and wealth, prosperity gospel preacher, I couldn't preach what I'm preaching tonight. You'll never hear one of them preach it. Job was a righteous man that eschewed evil. This is the ultimate reason from our standpoint why God fills our lives with troubles and perplexities one sort or another. It is to ensure that we shall learn to hold Him fast. The reason why the Bible spends so much of its time reiterating that God is a strong rock, a firm defense, a sure refuge, a help for the weak, is that God spends so much of His time showing us that we are weak, both mentally and morally, and dare not trust ourselves to find or follow the right road. When we walk along a clear road feeling fine and someone takes our arm to help us, likely we would impatiently shake him off. But when we are caught in the rough country, in the dark, with a storm brewing and our strength all spent, and someone takes our arm to help us, we would thankfully lean on him. And God wants us to feel that our way through life is rough and perplexing, so that we may learn to lean on Him thankfully. Therefore, He takes steps to drive us out of our self-confidence and to trust in Him. In the classical spiritual phrase for the secret of a godly man's life, wait on the Lord. If we're not careful, old Slewfoot will back us up in the corner in the trials. And he'll say, where's your God now? Can I tell you where he is in every trial? He's right where he was before the trial come. He's in my heart. I'll share that with you in a moment. He's still sitting on the throne, amen. It didn't take him by surprise. God is good. It is good for me. God is good. It is good. The truth concerning broken. It helps us to learn His statutes. Secondly, it helps us to long for the Savior. Listen to these words over there. That's what the song was about tonight. I shall know Him. Praise God, I already know Him. But there's a different kind of knowing Him coming. Say amen. Amen. We know Him now by faith. I don't think that when we see His face, see His feet, see His hands, I don't think we're going to say, well, was that really Him? No, I believe we're going to cry out like old Thomas, my Lord and my God. And we'll fall at His feet. You see, John in the book of the Revelation, he went through all of that. He was exiled on the Isle of Patmos and God let him see the glorified Christ. God let him see the church. God let him see the tribulation. God let him see the marriage of the Lamb. God let him see the great white throne judgment. God let him see the new Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven. And you get to the end of the book and John said the best thing that could ever happen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. He saw the tribulation. He saw the trouble. He saw the trials. And it caused him to long for the Savior over there. Thirdly tonight, the truth concerning brokenness, it helps us to learn His statutes. It helps us to long for the Savior over there. But number three, it helps us to look for the Savior down here. How many's ever thought something like this if it didn't come out of your mouth? Where are you, Lord? I read that in the Bible. Say amen. Lord, where are you? God, where are you in this circumstance? Where are you? What are you doing, Lord? Did you know, I've heard people say, well, you should never question the Lord. My Savior hung on the cross and cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Did you know that he knows that we're frail? That we're flesh? He knows that we're weak. It'd be good if we knew it. His strength is made perfect, not in our strength, but in our weakness. Listen tonight. Why? The Bible said the Lord is nigh, near unto them that are of a broken heart. Let me give you some things tonight real quickly. Listen to this scripture. Psalm 69 and verse 20. If you read this, you'll understand that it's talking about Jesus. It said, reproach hath broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness. Listen, I looked for some to take pity, but there was none. And for comforters, but I found none. They gave me also gall for my meat, and in my thirst, they gave me vinegar to drink. Did you know that this is speaking of Jesus? He's hanging on the cross now. He said, I looked, I couldn't find. The Bible said in Hebrews chapter 2, for in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to secure, to comfort them that are tempted. You say, Pastor, I don't know where you're going with this. Well, let me just tell you where I'm going. There'll come a time in your life when you're going to feel like you're all alone. But Jesus said, because I know what it is to be all alone, I'm going to see to it that you'll never be all alone. You need to look for him. He's there. I love that song. He was there all the time. Amen. Listen to what I mean, and I think you'll get the point. 2 Timothy chapter 4, the Apostle Paul is writing to the young preacher. He said, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. He said, of whom be thou ware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. He said, Timothy, he's trouble. He's warning him. Amen. About Alexander the coppersmith. Now I want you to notice verse 16. He said, at my first answer, no man stood with me. It's just like Jesus. No man stood with me. At my first answer, no man stood with me. But all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. You can't tell me he's not like Jesus. Watch this. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. There'll never be any time in your life as a child of God that the Lord won't be right there. He's going to stand with you. He's never going to leave you. The Bible said, let your conversation be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Simply put tonight, the blessing behind the brokenness is really the blesser, the Lord Jesus himself. He's already been through it. There is no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will with the temptation make thee a way of escape that you'll be able to bear it. Our God tonight, he knows the trial. He knows the heartache. He knows the brokenness. And he don't jump ship. He stays right in there with us. Amen. Years ago, I heard an illustration about, and my wife does some of this. She actually showed me some stuff she did years ago. Needlepoint, where you got a canvas. And she has the patience for this kind of stuff. I don't. And you take that needle, you got to have different color thread, and you got to go in and out and in and out. Then you got to change colors, in and out and in and out. And the little boy was sitting down at the foot of the rocker that his grandmother was in, and he said, "Grandma," he said, "what are you doing?" He said, "Honey, I'm making a beautiful picture." When you look at the backside of that canvas, there's all those little ends sticking out. It doesn't make any sense whatsoever. It just looks like a hodgepodge of thread sticking out of a piece of cloth or a piece of plastic. But I'm going to tell you tonight, Granny said, "Come up here, honey, and look at it." He said, "Oh," Grandma said, "it is beautiful." You need to understand tonight, especially in the trials, especially when our heart is broken, we're looking at it from the bottom side up. He's looking at it from the top side down. All I need to know tonight, everybody listen to me right here, all that I really need to know tonight in any given situation is that I love Him. Watch where I'm going with this. And we know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. I love Him tonight. I love the song they sang, Brother Dale and Oak Glen. There's no need to doubt Him now. He'll make a way somehow. Safely this far, Jesus has brought me. And there's no need to doubt Him now. That's what the old devil wants to do, is drive a wedge in our hearts. Try to get us out of fellowship with God. Try to get us to believe in a lie. God don't care about you. Remember this about the devil. He's a liar. He's the father of a lie. Someone wrote these words, "My life is but a weaving between my Lord and me. I cannot choose the colors. He worketh steadily. Oft times He weaveth sorrow, and I, in foolish pride, forget He sees the upper, and I, the underside. Not till the loom is silent, and the shuttle ceases to fly, shall God unroll the canvas and explain the reason why." I can't remember all the words of the song, but just a line comes to my heart. We'll know all about it in the by and by. There's things that do not make sense. There's things that I would do different. If I were the creator of man, Brother John, I would have put grease fittings in certain places in the body. Is anybody with me tonight? You know, just a little shot of grease here and there would go a long way. Amen. My boy told me today, I was talking to him on the phone. He said, "Dad, I have to get up in the morning and run my hands under hot water and get them going. His hands are so stiff." Now, part of that's his own doing. There was a horse that stepped on his wife, and he hauled off and hit the horse in the side of the head with his fist. He's got a plate in the back of that hand. Amen. I said, "Son, couldn't you pick another place to hit that horse?" Amen. Amen. We don't always get it right, do we, Brother Jack? But thank God He does. I don't know. I don't know. But I know if we'll look, He'll be there. If we'll look for the blessedness as we're going through the brokenness, God will show it to us. Amen. You learn more about Jesus. You get closer to Jesus in the valley than you ever will on the mountaintop. He's the lily in the valley. Amen. Let's pray tonight. Father, thank you for your goodness. I pray, God, that something's been said tonight. Lord, the phone rings and it rings and it rings. Every once in a while, Lord, it's good news. So many times, Lord, it's not. It's not good as far as this world goes. Lord, you began to deal in my heart on Friday about this message. Within 30 minutes, my phone rang. And there was a lady whose heart was crushed on the other end. Lord, I pray tonight that you would help us to understand. You want us to learn your statutes. You want us to long for your coming. You want us to look for you in every situation in life. Because, Lord, whatever comes in our life, if I understand anything at all about the book of Job, it had to run across God's desk first. And Lord, that means you had a purpose in it. Well, we don't have to know the purpose. I remember the words that an old preacher said years ago, when we cannot track you, we must learn to trust you. When we don't know what you're doing, what you're up to, help us to be able to trust you, Lord, in every situation. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed tonight.